GC Ed and Darren love feeling fresh in the morning. But for those morning pick-me-ups, they grab a regular cup of freshly ground coffee for just $2. Available 24/7 at 7-Eleven.
Good morning. And get up. Now count me in.
GC Ed and Darren. GC Ed and Darren.
Count around your radio now for GC Ed and Darren.
Yeah, it's a podcast. Yeah, everyone's man, arguing like about it. Having a break or not.
We're on the podcast now.
Yeah, big time. Cool,
man. So, yeah, we do. We sometimes record this during our radio show, our breakfast show in Sydney. So,
no way.
Right now, we're in the middle of a. Well, we haven't started. Mel B is about to play out on air for us.
Yeah, your friend,
Spice Girl Mel B. So, who did FaceTime me. After the interview, didn't she? She FaceTimed me.
What'd you ask?
Just wanted to know how I was going.
What's the answer?
Said I was going good, and she showed me her dogs. She's got a couple of little dogs, Spice Girl. And I saw she had an open fire going in her house. She's in England somewhere. We were speculating how much money she'd make for doing as America's Got Talent, weren't we?
Yep.
What do you reckon, Aaron? What do you reckon? How much would Mel B make for America's Got Talent?
Being
on the panel of that show.
The American Wonder Got Talent. So what do you guys make here?
Well, not would decent money.
How did, like, give me a ballpark, man.
Oh, we're talking hundreds of thousands.
Okay, Spice Girl Mel B has a new TV contract with a huge $1.7 million salary.
What?
Okay, so that's her. That was 2018.
US.
So that was Mel B's America's Got Talent pay packet. Yeah, so the contract was worth 1.7, but had to go to debts after her bitter divorce.
Oh, really? So she's just getting
1.7
per year, yeah, or per series?
Well, that was the contract. So, look, I suspect it may have been.
Is that speculation? We don't know whether that's true or
not. So she took over from Sofia Vergara, who did it for a while.
From the Modern Family, yeah.
And they reckon that she was getting.
Sofia was getting.
$400,000 US per episode for a 25 episode season.
$400K per episode.
What?
Kidding. That's old school money, TV
old
money, isn't it?
Old school money.
Mate, that's, I want
to
be
just
old.
To sit on that panel
and say, I love
and say
it.
Say probably seven words as an
none
episode.
None of which will make the final edit. So, mate, that is some sweet coin for some sweet FA.
How many episodes?
So, 25.
So what's 400 times 25?
So what do you get for the Australian Last Singer, mate?
Not that. I'll give you the big tip. Less than, you know.
Less than one episode, eh? That's what he's going to say, eh?
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. Yeah. But also, that's US.
Big time, baby.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Half an episode.
Oh, it's a trustful, baby. I tell
after the second ad break. I'm done for the season.
That's it, I'm out of here.
Have a great podcast, everyone.
So young.
This is I on
Sydney.
We love this town, Erin. Who are we focusing on today?
It's a wonderful town. Well, I mean, look, it's been a rough few days for Sydney. We know that off the back of the weekend and stabbings in a church earlier this week. But out of kind of rough, tough, awful situations, you see the best of humanity as well. And we saw that with the man dubbed Bollard Man off the back of the Bondi Junction stabbings. He stood at the top of an escalator and I think purportedly it was behind him at a kid's playground. I don't know that playground very well. Every mum in that area does. And he kind of stopped the alleged attacker coming up. So incredible bravery. The alleged attacker had a massive machete-type knife that he was using to kill people. And this guy stood up there. Pardon?
You can say he's the attacker, can't you?
Look, it's ridiculous, but you're still, to some extent, I'll still say alleged. You can say whatever you mean, really. I could, you know what? I'm going to call him a coward instead. The coward. So he stopped the coward from getting up towards children. But look, I can't think of a better way to run Australia's immigration system than this, essentially, because Anthony Albanese, the Prime Minister, has said he can stay. Have a listen.
You are welcome here. You are welcome to stay for as long as you like. This is someone who we would welcome becoming an Australian citizen, although that would, of course, be a loss for France.
He's a French tradie, lives in Randwick, and he's having some issues with his immigration. So I can just imagine last week, you know, filling out forms, waiting in Centrelink kind of, well, I don't know if they go to Centrelink, but I've never had to do those kind of forms. But now to suddenly the Prime Minister knowing who he is and giving him a direct invitation to become a citizen is pretty incredible.
He only had 2 months left, apparently, on his visa. He went out the door. So, yeah, what a bloody hero. And we are here to celebrate that. How old is he? He's like 29, is he?
Yeah, under 30. I can't.
No. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't see an age, actually. Well, but, yeah, young-ish.
What a bloody champion.
Now, when we come back, it is...
We've also got to get a statue for Amy, don't we? Is it Amy Scott? Is it?
Oh, yes, the police officer.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, you're every day of the week.
Your ex knows her, doesn't
he?
Doesn't he?
Yeah, he worked with her for, I think, close to a decade at King's Cross.
Oh, wow.
We were talking to him the other night. Yeah. Husey on FaceTime, and he was saying that... Yeah, she's always been incredible, and
she's always been a very good police woman. Yeah, and that was amazing what she did.
Yeah,
amazing.
Absolutely. In a moment, the cost of living crisis is affecting the heads of women over Sydney.
This is horrific.
One particular type of woman, actually.
Yes.
Is this woman her days numbered? Is it impossible for her to keep up? The charade.
The Husey, Ed and Erin podcast.
Women are in trouble, especially blonde women, because of the cost of living.
Mm. Yep. It's finally hitting us where it hurts. All the other stuff, vegetables, food, rent, who cares? But now they're taking away our identity.
I think you can represent all blonde women. You've got a lot of followers who are blonde just like you. How expensive is it to be blonde? Because women are turning away from it because they can't afford it.
It's
how much are you paying?
Ridiculous. So the tragedy is, prior to leaving Channel 9, my hair was done for free. So at Channel 9, so for 10, 11 years, I had extensions, colour, like treatments, everything for free for 10 years.
Yeah, right.
Since
you would have got used to that.
Very used to it.
Yeah.
So think about inflation and how much prices go up. So when I left, I reckon, like when I entered Channel 9, I'd be paying like, you know, $200, which is massive for a young'un to get my hair, like roots done. Now that I've left, like it can sometimes, if I'm getting pieces put in as well, like my little thickening pieces, like it can cost like over $1,000 easily.
I'm going to put it to you. Then why haven't you got that hair in your Sky News contract? What's going on there? Why can't you?
Well,
you're doing.
It's a really. I was thinking about that the other day. Maybe should I be claiming it? I don't know. I'm sure I would be.
Your hair is your fortune. Without your hair, you're nothing. So less than zero without the hair.
You don't think Andrew Bolt claims his hair?
Yeah, so, that'd be expensive. Kidding,
I mean, also, you could get in early
really
on a Friday.
Point. I've got to ask about that.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm putting that in my notes section on my phone. Ask Guy about hair.
You do it live on air. Just call out Rupert live on air.
Rupert.
Hey, Rupert, come on, mate. Now, but you're not alone.
No, I'm definitely not alone. In fact, I am not the only blonde in the world.
No, you're not the only blonde in this studio right now.
Correct.
We've got another one.
Yeah, we've got our intrepid producer, Becky Wecky Moosehound Beck. And Beck is very blonde. That is a true statement, Beck.
Yes, I am very, very blonde.
Very. Mm-hmm.
But you're also a junior. Well, not you.
Senior.
Junior. Well, you're not a senior, but we're not. I mean, like, it's in your young. Like, you're basically very
You've just come
young.
Out of the womb. You've still got a cord attached, is what Hughes is trying to say.
You're 24, are you? 23?
I'm 28.
She's 28.
Oh, you're 28?
Yeah.
Well, you look like you're 21.
Well, wait. Let's. What did the app say you look like?
Oh, it said it looked like 30 or something.
So it was wrong. Asking you for ID. Like, no way. No way.
Yeah.
You know, like in America, you can ask for ID. I think you would.
Let's just set the scene here. Producers, I'm assuming you don't earn massive money, right? Like, you're not filthy rich.
No, not close to filthy rich.
Yeah. Yes. Okay. So
it'll happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You stick with this industry and you will be wow. Reeling it
I'm
in.
I'm excited.
Yes. But what did you spend last time you went and got your blonde long hair done?
Last time I got my hair done, I spent $1,600.
Oh, my God.
That's huge.
Yeah. Look, I did get hair extensions and I did get the longer ones this time.
Oh,
but
they look great.
Thank you.
Have you chosen your hair over ever having a deposit for a house?
Basically, yeah. It's been 2 years of extensions and I'm worried to think about how much I've actually spent all up.
Hang on. So, like, is that once every 3 months? How often are you spending?
Yeah, this one's once every three. Well, I haven't done it since end of Jan. Yeah, 3 months.
My God.
It's due to be done again the next few weeks.
Just ask Uncle Huey.
No.
I think it's time to get rid of the extensions, though. I don't know if I can
No, nah, don't let it go there. I don't know if I can do it. Without
which
them,
hair
you're
do you
nothing.
Get? Because I remember I had a, I remember my wife got extensions once, and she said they offered her two bits of hair. One, they held one up and they said, now this is the good hair. It's from Russia.
Yeah, the Russian.
And they said,
the
you can
best.
Have local hair, or you can, and then they held up the other one and said, or you can have Russian hair.
Russian.
Oh. Go Russian. What you get, Aaron? Do you get Russian hair?
I think Russian.
I don't
I've
know if you
so
should be getting Russian
people.
Hair with the war, to
yeah.
be honest.
Well, Sky News is not going to pay for Russian hair.
Sky News
get Ukrainian hair?
Yeah, Ukrainian hair.
And pay top dollar.
Top dollar.
So I paid top dollar.
Kiev's best.
Actually, on that.
Over the islands.
I don't know if you guys watched my show last week, but we are pushing. There's a lot of oligarch money here, Russian assets that the Ukrainian Association is pushing for the Australian government to give to Ukraine.
Oligarch
so to
money.
Take their money, like so, yeah. they would have
like,
houses.
Apparently, like billions in Russian assets owned here that have all been it's, frozen.
That's just called Bondi Road. It's been like that forever.
Should we be knocking on the door of houses so. In Point Piper and going, "Where? Give us a look."
I'm not doing that.
Okay. Why not? Go, sorry, you're from Russia. Out.
You're from Russia.
We're talking about evicting people, just their money. Today FM. Can I just restate my claim that I've made for many years? There is no such thing as an adult who is a natural blonde. We were talking before the news about the fact that cost of living is killing blondes in terms of how expensive it is. So they're saying in the paper today that women are going away from blonde because it's too expensive to maintain. I yep. say to you that there is not one person listening who is a real blonde who is over the age of, say, 18.
Is there any adult blondes listening to us who are really, their hair comes out of their skull blonde? Is that true? My wife was a blonde when we met, I just realised. Yeah.
Holy.
She was blonde.
Like dyed blonde?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Absolutely. No, look, we don't have any blondes. There's no
right,
blondes.
If you are claiming that you are an actual adult blonde, you can call us 131060. You will be put to the test.
Even strawberry blonde.
Yeah, we'll What's take that, eh?
It's a bit
At
of
a
red,
stretch.
Okay.
Strawberry blonde, I think, is a bit
Who's
of red.
Strawberry blonde? What's a person I can think of?
Great question. My sister used to be, then she became auburn.
Who would be strawberry blonde?
Isla Fisher?
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe Viola. She's in Sydney. She can call.
Nikki
She's
Webster.
Got a bit more time on her hands.
Nikki Webster.
She's got That's less time on her hands. They've got kids. She's now a single mum.
That's true. Absolutely. Less time on our hands, though, but you know, you want to get something done, you give it to a busy person.
Well,
That's
I got double, I got double passes to see Tones and I, who
what?
Is a yeah, who's a bottle blonde herself. So, yep. if you can claim, if you can be an actual, if you're an actual adult blonde person, 131060.
Tones and I is doing an amazing concert. She did an amazing tour with Pink, and on her own, she's going to blow the roof off
yep.
the venue she's in if yep. it has a roof.
This is the Husey, Ed, and Aaron podcast.
The Husey, Ed and Aaron podcast.
But you know what? Aaron Mullen has made a big claim that there's no natural adult blondes in Sydney. It's a, I think it's a claim that she's made to make herself feel better because she's living a lie.
No, someone that's smart told me that. Someone like knowledgeable told me ages ago and then we tested the theory and it was right.
Wasn't your dad a blonde? Is he blonde?
Yeah, he was actually, yeah.
So, but did you... He was, and he kept being blonde, didn't he?
Yeah, pretty much. Really good point.
You're trying to tell us that your father was dyeing his hair all those years?
No. No, he never dyed his hair, but I just hadn't thought of that.
You hadn't thought of your own father?
No.
Tall, handsome, blonde man.
Poor guy. Yes. How quickly they forget. All right, here comes
a... been a good chat for the commercial break, but whatever.
I just remembered.
You've done well there. You've done really well.
Oh, there's probably others, isn't there?
Well, is there?
Well, Ryan from Curran Till. Ryan, how old are you?
I'm 27.
Hey,
now,
Ryan.
Now, you've sent us a photo. Have a look. It's in our group chat, you two. So open the group chat. He claims to be a natural blonde, don't you, Ryan?
Mate, there is no way that is natural. So look. Oh, maybe.
No, I swear on mums. That is natural. Mums.
No, it actually is. But it's not really blonde. It's more of a kind of... It's a,
no, that's blonde.
It's not really. It's kind of a...
Well, it's not bright
blonde. It's tinged red, isn't it, Ryan?
Strawberry.
No, my hair is pretty blonde. My beard is tinged red, that's
yes,
for sure.
That's the same as my... In yeah. fact, oh, my God,
Everyone.
My brother is blonde. Guys.
So supposedly I've got half the gene. If I've got a red beard, I've got half of the gene that makes your hair red.
It's recessive, yeah, but this is so bizarre because my little brother has a red tinged beard, which is when he grows hair on his face, and he's blonde.
Yeah, well, I've got a red tinge. Yeah. Everyone, a lot of people have red on their beards.
But he's also a blonde and doesn't dye his hair.
So your brother, so you're surrounded by natural blondes, Aaron. Your mum's a blonde as well, isn't she?
I think it's only men, though. It's mum, but she uses stuff. But I think it's only, I think it must just be a male thing.
You know what? I love your hair, Ryan. It just looks great. And the goatee, you've still got the goatee. Is that a fresh photo you've just taken?
That's a fresh photo, yeah. Oh, my God. I just had a couple there, so you see the old one.
Wait, you're is that you as a youngster with the weird coloured shirt?
With the long blonde?
Oh, my God.
That's not a wig.
Nah, that's an
That's exceptional. That we need to put that on our socials.
Can we post that? That's like a cult photo. That's like a recruitment for a cult of some sort.
Deborah Harry. Should be Deborah Harry. Blondie.
Oh, so they're touring, Reece.
Are they?
Yeah, they're touring.
So you'd put Ryan in the backup dancers category, wouldn't you?
You put him out the front center, bro.
You know why? That is great hair, man.
That's great.
Now,
what year is that? I need to know the year of that photo. When are we talking, Ryan?
Man, like
90s, 2000s. How old are you? Oh, you're 27.
Yeah.
Oh,
God, that's recent.
Yeah. God, he scoffed at the fact that someone could have been alive in the 90s. That's horrific. Yeah.
Now, when were you born? He was born in. What year were you born? 97, were you?
96. Yeah, 96.
God, almighty.
God, I still think 20 years ago is the 80s. That's how my head works. 20 years ago, I think 1980.
You can't remember bloody what's her name running the 400 at the Olympics, can you?
Kathy.
Who's that?
Kathy Freeman.
It was a hard one. I was having trouble.
You can't remember that bloke. Remember that bloke in one of those swimming races? What's his name?
Thorpey.
Dean.
I wouldn't remember Thorpey. He wasn't there for Thorpey.
No, nothing about Thorpey.
About the torpedo.
Whoa.
What about the size of his feet? Remember that front page of the paper?
Huge.
You don't remember that, do you, Ryan?
We're talking about his feet here or what?
Yeah we are, mate. That's a scum. Get your mind out of the gutter, Ryan. You think you're right, bimbo.
Oh.
Too hard.
Too hard.
Oh, my God. That was awful. Thanks, Ryan, for listening.
Now. We had a 60-year-old with no grey hairs.
I told you it's only a woman. It's a man thing. Women, there's no natural women blondes.
Brenda doesn't have to send a photo. We trust you, Brenda.
No,
Brenda?
Yeah.
Oh, hey, Brenda. Oops.
Can you make sure your radio's down? How
I'm
old are you, Brenda?
I'm 60.
Yeah.
I'm 61 in June.
Oh, happy birthday.
Oh, you're young. I'm as old as my teeth and a bit older than my tongue.
Oh, I like
that. Your teeth a bit older than your tongue.
Yeah.
Is that right?
No, I think it's a saying of some sort, but I like it.
Didn't you get your tongue before your teeth?
Hey?
You're a bit older than your tongue. Is that what you said?
Wait, say that again.
I'm as old as my tongue.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
And a bit older than my teeth.
Yeah, see, right. Do you know what? You got it confused. Yeah, that's perfect because your teeth grow later.
Duh. You're talking to a natural blonde here, you idiots.
Yeah, aggressive, natural, ready to rock.
I'm
so you've been rocking the blonde
Brenda
hair for all those 60 years. Yeah. And is it true you've got no grey hair, Brenda?
I've got no grey hair. I've had two or three pubes and about two eyebrows.
Two or three grey pubes.
My dad went grey at about 65. He started to. He's Irish.
Oh, you're a wonderful woman.
Blondes take a lot longer to go grey, don't they? I think, yeah.
Sorry, this is a weird question, but when you say two or three pubes, are you talking like underarm or like the mound?
No, the pubes, the pubic bones. Yeah. Where's the pubic bone?
Exactly.
Come on, you're not
Who
an idiot, though.
Underarm?
No, but pubic hair
pubes.
Grows under your arm and your mound.
I don't get any underarm hair anymore.
Under
I don't get any more underarm hair.
What, really?
She've nuked it.
If they are, they're really like blonde.
Yeah.
Well, this is
Thank
great.
You, Brenda.
Thank you, Brenda.
Thanks,
Brenda.
You stay blonde and have a great time.
The Husey, Ed and Erin podcast.
The other night, talking about hanging out, after my colonic, which didn't go well, fair to say. I don't know if I'm going to go back there. But anyway, Erin, you booked me in for the colonic and that was a great centre.
I
love that
place.
I
didn't pay or anything for
no,
it.
No, but you...
Yeah. I text the woman who runs the clinic and asked her to get you an appointment, which she did. So I knew... that you would be there. And I also knew that my mother and daughter and I would be going to the Intercontinental, which is across the road, for a swim and an early dinner. So I said to you, after your colonic, if you've got some room spare in your tummy and you're a bit peckish, come join us for a bit.
Yeah. So, and I appreciated the offer and I I took her up on the offer and I went up to the pool area and had some good, decent chats with your mum. Me and her get along really well.
Yeah, she's very fond of you.
Yeah, she's a good woman, no doubt about it. We talked about many things. Just no, don't pull any punches. Anne doesn't pull any punches. She's no BS.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I like that. But and then we went for dinner because a bloke came up and said, "You coming down for dinner?"
Yeah, he was.
He's very
trying to find the right term. It was forceful, but in a good
way.
Like,
"You're coming for dinner?"
Yep.
Which
was amazing because I was already planning on going for dinner. But yes.
Yeah, but there was no getting out of it. So
no.
And then you asked whether I wanted to come for dinner, and I did say to him, any vegan options? And he said there was. But anyway.
Oh, that's nice.
Wasn't that many vegan options, but.
Yeah, which I don't mind, to be honest. I just want to make it clear because I know that Ben, the manager, does listen to this show. I don't need any vegan options, and I love what you guys do yourselves.
The service there was fantastic.
Oh, incredible. That was so lovely, yes. But anyway, you reckon something happened that was weird that I didn't even notice or think twice about, and all you want to do now is make me feel ashamed.
No, I don't want to make you feel ashamed. Wow. No, that's not what I'm here to do. I'm here just to question.
So it's a fancy place, okay? It's a very fancy restaurant, right? Like
it's really
gold
fancy
finishes and that kind of stuff and like red leather velvet and it's classy.
Yeah, and it was a Monday night, wasn't it? So it was a quiet night, fair to say.
Yes.
There's a few other diners and us. And we were eating dinner and you ordered fish and chips for your daughter, Eliza,
yes,
didn't you?
She got fish and chips. Mum and I had chicken salad and I don't know what yours was
I'm
called.
Not sure what I had, but it was very tasty. But your daughter was given a very large meal. Was that a kid's meal?
It was like, a kid's meal, but they may
kid's
have
meal?
That might have been lost in translation a bit because that was three massive battered bits of fish and lots of chips. So it was a big meal, which is fine. Like, gosh, it was beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. No, you're happy to get a bigger meal and a smaller meal. There's no doubt about that.
Every day of the week.
But there was a glass of water in front of Aaron and Eliza. It was me and Anne on the other side of the table and Aaron and Eliza sitting there. And Eliza grabbed one of the big bits of battered fish and just shoved it into the water glass. And then she grabbed another big bit of battered fish and she shoved that into the water glass. So we're sitting there and there's two.
Is there water in the glass?
Yes.
Oh.
Yeah. So there's two bits of battered fish in a water glass.
And what was her like?
But she wanted the fish to start swimming again.
I think
it was to
take them back to their home. You know, she's got a real kind heart.
So you're sitting there at a fine dining restaurant,
right,
and you've got a big water glass with two chunks of battered fish inside the glass, and it didn't look right.
Didn't really like. I kind of looked and then just kind of kept going. I didn't even really click that. That you guys would have a problem with that.
Well, I mean, I didn't mention it, but it was weird.
Was she laughing? Was she like,
a bit of giggling? Yeah, little bit of giggling. It's just what I do here, you know. I take over, I grab large pieces of food and I shove them
in
water.
What about grandma? What about Aaron's mum?
You know what? Anne very subtly decided, without asking anyone else, to take the battered fish out of the water glasses and put it on her own plate. And start eating it.
What?
And without even saying a word, she did that.
She ate the water fish.
What? She ate the water glass fish. But she's a good woman.
Yuck.
But I wondered what she was thinking when this was going on.
Because I haven't brought this up to her because you told me not to. But I honestly didn't even, I think I referenced it at one stage and kind of went, isn't that cute? And then just kind of kept eating my meal. I didn't think for
you
a second that you would feel uncomfortable.
I knew
it wasn't normal, but I just like, God, I pick my battles. Like
for
me on a night out with Eliza, if that's the worst thing she does, then I am a happy woman.
She wants to put the main portion of her meal inside a water glass and just stuff it in there.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Did you think about saying something?
Well, it's not my place to say something, but I would.
Like discipline her. Did you think about
going, don't put that in there. This is not Play-Doh. That's a piece of battered fish, which is expensive. And your mother paid for it, by the way. So
yeah, not me. My mother.
Yes. Yeah, you're right.
I thought you were still talking to Eliza.
So let's get Aaron's mother on shortly. Aww. And then should Hughie have said something? Do you?
What would you? Would you have
you
said
something
to
say
me
something.
Or to her?
Save it. So
yeah,
if you see
I'm
something,
curious.
Do you say something?
Today FM. This is the Husey, Ed and Erin podcast.
You were invited out for dinner with Erin and her daughter Eliza and Erin's mother Anne.
Yeah, three generations of Molans, and the youngest one, Eliza, who is so much fun.
She's great.
But she's been given a license by Erin to, have fun at the dinner table. She put two pieces of battered fish inside a water glass and it looked weird. Right? So you're at a fine dining restaurant and there's two big bits of battered fish stuffed inside a water glass glass as well.
If she'd been sitting there on her iPad, you would have commented on that. Like, at least she's kind of present and engaged and she's, you know, physically playing.
So I didn't know what to do. Do I say something here? I didn't say anything. Erin's mum didn't say anything. She did act a bit later on. Erin's mum actually took the fish out of the glass and started eating it herself.
I don't know if she ate fish out of the glass.
She did. Because she didn't want to. We'll talk to her in a second. What do people think?
Righto. So from Diana from Randwick, is Susie allowed to parent other people's kids in public?
No, because it wouldn't have went down well with Eliza. Husey's a friend and he wants to stay in the good books with Eliza. He should have told Erin and said, Erin, say something to your daughter. You're the mum.
Yeah, I could have texted.
I would have found that hard. Erin, oh, no, he'd already texted me that day about something else, so he'd exhausted the texts.
Now, so
thanks,
I could have
Diana,
just sort of, walked you away. Just say, Erin, we need to have
you
a
could
chat.
Have disguised it in a joke, like kind of said, oh, that fish ain't swimming.
I could have, but I didn't think to do that.
So, here's Tanya from Blacktown. Is it okay for Husey to parent other people's kids in public?
Absolutely. Absolutely not. We don't sweat the little stuff. I've got three boys. I pick my battles.
That's like me, Tanya. Like,
they won't listen when it comes to big things.
That's the thing. And, like, I've been there before where her and I, if you're a long-time listener, you'll know this, have walked out and me sobbing in front of everyone else because she just hasn't listened to me. She screamed at me. Like this was nothing. My gauge of what's appropriate now is skewed because it's low.
Look, I must admit I have helped you in that space, I think, saying don't worry about what anyone
thinks.
That's
what you tell me. What you say to me, direct quote, we're all going to die, Erin. Who cares? So that's the attitude I've now adopted.
Yeah, but I just didn't love the battered fish inside the water glass. I didn't love it. So that's two for don't say anything.
Well, Leah from Harrington Park, is it okay if Husey did some parenting of Eliza in public?
Excuse me, absolutely not. And why wouldn't you, Eliza, let Uncle Husey be the bully and not mum?
Yeah, well,
that's
it is.
That's a really good point.
A
so you're
real,
saying he should
mess.
Have taken the...
okay, so...
Absolutely.
So you've
like
had,
that. I like
Leah,
that.
Leah, thank you. Very strong. Now, 60% say that you shouldn't say anything.
60%. So 40% say I should.
Now, here comes Erin Molan's mum. Welcome back to the show, Anne.
Hi, guys.
Morning.
Hello, Anne. And it was great to hang out with you on Monday night. We had a pleasant time, didn't we, Anne?
We did. We did, Husey. It was very pleasant.
Yeah, we solved some of the world's problems, I think. We tried did. To.
Yeah, because it's... Well, it's really gone well since then.
But Anne, so you paid for dinner, and can I just one more time thank Anne for her generosity in paying for dinner on Monday night? Because it wasn't cheap, was it, Anne?
Well, it's my pleasure, and it was lovely to be in Sydney and to be able to have a meal together.
Yeah, no, we're very grateful.
It's like a press conference. Is this? What is going on?
Well, we're getting to the
she been given talking points?
No, she hasn't.
She's nervously awaiting the question. What's it called when they catch you out?
So, Anne, you saw the fish go in the glass, didn't you?
I did.
Yeah. So, and you didn't say anything and I didn't say anything either. Neither of us said anything, did we?
We didn't, Husey. Could I add a little bit of context?
Thank you.
I think Eliza had three pieces of fish, a beautiful meal, and I think it was initially done. I might have been kind of on the periphery of the conversation or whatever. I think it was originally done because she had two fillets completely left over. Now, they were shaped like a fish. They looked like a fish, and she decided she'd put them in water. Right. And certainly my reaction was humour at first. And I think there was a little bit of kind of reaction of a bit of a laugh. And then that did, I must admit, encourage Eliza a little bit to you know, give the second one.
Put more fish in
well.
The in the glass, that, yeah.
Yeah.
So it ended up being a water glass stuffed full of fish.
And then you
took the fish out of the water glass very subtly and put them on your plate and started eating those fish, didn't you?
No, Hughie, can I correct that, please?
Yep.
I had also leant across in front of you and taken the half-eaten fillet that Eliza had started and then left. And I put that on my plate separately because the plates were being cleared at the time. But then you're right, I did take the soggy fish out of the glass because I thought that that was a courtesy that I would extend to the staff at the hotel, that we not have a pretty grubby-looking mangled mess in a glass of the food that they'd gone to so much trouble to prepare. But that was put to the side.
Oh, that was loaded. That was heavily loaded.
Not welcome there again. Thank you, Anne. News time and then Secret Lives of Sydney, a secret between two sisters that is, well, four years in the making.
Hear
you cannot
this.
Miss this.
Yep. Yeah.
The Husey, Ed and Erin podcast.
Got a secret. Can you keep it?
Husey, Ed and Aaron's $10,000 Secret Lives of Sydney. Untold secrets. Unbelievably true. Only on Today FM.
Okay. $10,000 for one secret, todayfm.com.au. Hundreds of secrets we've done and no one's ever had their identity revealed. So it is safe with us. Now, Courtney, welcome to Secret Lives of Sydney. What is your secret?
So basically my brother-in-law made advances towards me and I still haven't told my sister.
How? What did he do?
So I was just out for like drinks with like some girlfriends and stuff and I posted up on my story what we were doing and then I got a text message like saying like, hey, like where are you at? So I thought they were like out. So I told him like, you know, here we are, da, 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 like want to catch up kind of thing. And then I found out that he wasn't around. Like, they lived, like, 4 hours away from where I was. And then he just like, kind of threw a random question. I said, yeah, go for it. And he sent me an exposed photo of himself. And asked what my opinions were on his body.
Right. So he sent you a full, full frontal.
Wow.
And he was like, yeah. So... How long has your sister been married to this guy?
I would be pushing now. They've been together for like 14 years.
Yeah. Had you any indication before this shocking, you know, text message nothing. Conversation that he was interested in you?
Nope, nothing. Like we've spent a crazy amount of time together, obviously, like being in the family for that long.
Yeah.
Like I've been, you know, to the birth of their children and...
Yeah.
Him to mine, all the rest of it.
So are you
in the wedding?
Yeah, right. So you're very close with your sister?
Very.
So what's stopping you? I know obviously it'll create massive drama, but what's stopping you?
I think like the heartbreak of it, to be honest. Like I think like there's been, you know, throughout the family, we've all had suspicions of, you know, him not being faithful and that kind of thing. But,
Has she ever speculated on his faithfulness with you? Has she ever said, I'm not sure what he's up to or not?
It's more defensive whenever anyone has brought it up to you, like my parents. So it's,
right. So she's always defended him, said he wouldn't do that. He's a good guy.
And like outside of this, he, you know, on the outsider's perspective, he looks like he's ticking all the boxes, you know, all the green flags are there.
He appears to be a good dad and,
Yeah.
Oh, God. So have you told your parents or anyone else?
No, I can't.
But you've got evidence, don't you? You can just go to your sister right now and go, look what he sent me.
Yeah, like I screen captured. I did send it to, like, one girlfriend and I was just like, I was just like, oh my God, like what has happened? I turned my phone off, woke up the next morning to like a bunch of missed calls from him and all the rest of it.
Panicking or something.
He must be, because I just slipped.
Possibility he was so drunk that he can't remember it and then he's looked at his phone and gone, oh my God, what have I done?
I don't know. Maybe. I hope so. But
even then, to do that, even drunk, sorry.
So what do you do, though? Do you say to him, mate, I'm going to tell your sister, do you want to tell her first or not? What do you do in that situation? Mm.
Goodness,
well, it's been now, we're probably pushing like 4 years since it's happened.
Oh, right.
What's it like when you see him then at like family stuff?
I just try to like you know, if they're at the table, I sit on the other end of the table or I try to avoid.
So it was a one-off 4 years ago, and as far as you, he hasn't attempted to court you since?
No. If there's anything like, you know, they try and get the kids together or something. And she's there.
Well, see, my issue is if you'd said yes, then I'm sure something would have occurred clearly because that's what he wanted. So I reckon, you know, it's just because you didn't say yes that nothing's happened. So I think it's hard, but I think she needs to know.
Really? But it's 4 years ago.
I know, but
he might have improved as a person.
Nah, unlikely.
Can we ask the question? Can we ask our audience the question?
Yeah. Does she tell? Hey, Courtney, thank you so much. Secret Lives of Sydney, not a real name, not a real voice. Should Courtney tell? 131060 lines are open. Hashtag prizes on offer. So 131060 lines are open.
4 years ago, her brother-in-law sent her lewd messages. Nothing has happened in the 4 years since. Should she now tell her sister what he did 4 years ago?
This is the Husey, Ed and Erin podcast.
The Husey, Ed and Erin podcast.
Should Courtney tell her sister that her sister's husband hit on her 4 years ago through sending her rude photos or lewd photos.
Yeah.
4 years ago. Hasn't told her. Is it worth blowing up that relationship now?
Right. You two reserve judgment because here comes D from Mascot. Should she tell D?
Hi. No, she shouldn't. It's been 4 years and too late.
But what if he's pulling that stunt on, I mean, if he's willing to risk going to a sister to be dishonest and unfaithful, like imagine if he's, what he's doing with other women.
Yeah, but nothing's happened between them two, so I don't know.
Yeah, I know what you mean because she's left it so long now it's going to be even harder.
Yeah, she should have done that at the beginning.
Do you insert yourself into that conversation or do you let them work it out for themselves? Would her sister be angry if she does tell her? I wonder.
Probably, I think.
Is she angry at her? I mean, obviously she's going to be angry at the husband, but is she angry at her sister for not telling her 4 years ago? It's a lot here.
Okay, Kerry from Penrith. Should she tell her sister?
Hello, yes, I think she definitely should. The time will be hard and she will be angry at her for waiting 4 years. But Erin's right. Who knows if he's got the guts to go for the sister?
Exactly.
He could be going for anyone and they could be saying yes.
Exactly. The only reason nothing happened is because, you know, she shut it down.
It was a sister. Yeah. Exactly. She could have easily done it and hidden it. And he could be doing it still. Yeah. The wife might need to know.
He had one moment of weakness and he's realized the error of his ways and he's just never done it since. So is that, if that was the case?
See, I just like.
Do you think you'd tell?
Yeah, 100%.
Yeah, I think so, absolutely. Because I kind of think with that it's like you're making an excuse almost. It's like, oh, it should not be hard to not have moments of weakness.
No, I know that, but people fail in life, you know, and they aren't they allowed to pick themselves up? And
absolutely, just with someone else next to them, not her sister.
One-way traffic at the moment. Yeah. Beth from Tarramurra, should she tell her sister?
She should absolutely tell her sister, and I don't think it matters if it's sister or brother, she should. Has to come clean, and there's just no. You can't lie in a bed. Imagine being in her situation where she finds out that other people have done this, and she goes to her sister and says to Courtney, "I've just found out that she then." And that's exactly what happened to me. You have to then front up to why you didn't share that for 14 years. If she loves her sister, rules every time. You've come clean.
Her sister deserves to make it. Her sister might decide that that's okay. You know, she's upset and disappointed, but she might stay. But her sister deserves to have the information so she can make a conscious decision.
Because she's being failed then by both her sister and her husband.
And her douchebag. Sorry,
douchebag husband aside, right?
They're happy together. It was a one-off. He was drunk. It was no.
It wasn't a one-off. It's a picture. It's a picture. Yes. It's not even just like a kiss on the cheek. It's actually his body parts. Here, have a look at mine.
It is a sausage and two veg.
We don't know how many veg. We
no, there were two veg, I assume. He hasn't had...
We don't know what he's had. We don't know anything about the situation.
80% say tell her, 20% know how to party.
Or maybe 20% mind their own business.
That's what I'm talking about. Send them all you want. Picks to the 20%.
Men are such pathetic beings. And aren't they? I'll never walk back from that.
Takes
mostly,
two to tango.
Though. Mostly. Yeah.
Well, us non-binaries, we can do what we want. So, thank you all.
The Husey, Ed and Erin podcast.
Updated the release of a book, Husey, you've been talking up for years now. The book is Brutally Honest by Mel B.
Yeah.
Mel B, welcome back to the show.
Ah.
Mel B, you know what? Everyone who reads your book talks it up, but I probably talk it up more than anyone, Mel. It's an amazing book. You've heard me say that to you. I say it behind your back. I say it everywhere. And you've updated this book, yeah? Mel. Updated the book.
Told you shouldn't have opened with that. What? Told you, man.
Offensive
line. Completely positive.
Offensive line to take. Behind her back, you talk behind her back.
I said I talked her up behind her back. You still say I talked her down behind her back.
All she heard was you've been talking behind my back.
It's just gone. Why is she's mute now? You're back, Mel B.
I'm back. I've never left.
Well, you were muted. Who muted you?
I don't know why I was muted. I'm trying to figure this out. All right, give me a second.
Good now.
Is it a phone?
It is a phone.
All right, it's pretty new technology.
So Mel. Mel. Yeah. All right. You know I love your book, and now you've updated it. So that's a brilliant thing, to update a book which is already brilliant. So you've added extra chapters.
Yeah, because you know what? A lot's happened to me. A lot has happened to me since I released it in 2017. I'm now in 2024. You know, in 2019, lived with my mum through COVID, you know, because of all the stuff that had happened to me in that horrible 10-year marriage. I was abused on so many different levels, financially, just everything. So I had to get my feet back on the ground. So I humbly moved into my mum's like tiny small bungalow with my three kids. Was on tour with Spice Girls 2019. So I was doing Wembley Stadium and coming back to my mum's humble abode. And I managed to kind of, you know, get my money sorted. And I just bought a house and I got an MBE. And, you know, so a lot's happened. I wanted to show that, you know, no matter what happens to you, you can get your life back together or start like the path of recovery. And, you know, you can do it.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I think a lot of people can relate on different levels. I'd love to ask about ego and that kind of thing, because we all have a healthy ego, but when you're a superstar, it does get enhanced and you go from having everything to this horrific experience and living with your mum and having nothing really materialistic. What did that do to how you viewed yourself? Did you have to really work hard to not value what you maybe used to value?
Well, at the end of the day, I am a northern lass from a council estate in Leeds. So I didn't grow up with any riches or anything fancy. And it was only in my late teens, you know, being part of Spice Girls that I was fortunate enough to earn a lot of money. And, you know, when you're in that world, you see a lot of BS. A lot of people just want to be, you know, near you because of the celebrity or near you because of the money and the circles that you move in. But I've always been, you know, ultimately a down-to-earth northern girl. And I got brought up, you know, with my mum and dad drilling it into me. Don't ever forget where you come from. Never tell lies and eat your vegetables.
Now, Mel B, in part of your second coming, or I mean, not that you ever went away because you've always been amazing. When you came to Australia to do the Masked Singer Australia and you met me, Dave Husey Hughes.
Wow.
Did I affect you positively, do you think, Mel?
What a moment.
Well, you kind of confused me. You confused me until I met your wife and children. And I thought, oh, my God, your wife is amazing, by the way. Your kids are an absolute joy and delight. And I was fortunate enough to meet them without you. So then, you know, I got to see the other side of you, which you weren't there to justify it. But your wife, you know, amazing. So I kind of nurtured a little soft spot for you.
Thank you. I mean,
but not in a weird way.
But your husband to be likes me as well, doesn't he? Rory, he likes me.
Yeah, he does, and he's a very good judge of character. He's a man of
very few words, but, you know, he's engaged to me, so what do you expect? But he said, you know, he's a really good guy. A really good guy. Yeah.
The invite to the wedding. Mel, he's just been wondering because it hasn't arrived at the moment. So he's just wondering.
I know, because, you know, when you get married and you have an MBE, you have to go through a bunch of protocols, because I wanted to get married at St. Paul's. Yeah. That's one of the privileges of having an MBE. So you have to go through all these different assessments with the chaplain, the bishop. Yeah, and because I've been married twice before, you know, you have to prove that you are actually legally divorced, and getting a hold of those papers can sometimes be a little bit tricky. Yeah. But, so we met the chaplain, and they literally sit you down. And I was really thankful for this process, because they sit you down. You have like an assessment, an interview, and, you know, the chaplain actually asks you, so why do you want to get married again? And I kind of was like, well, what? Why do I want to get married again? And I actually, she takes you through this process where you have to actually really be thoroughly honest. And, you know, at the end of the day, if you do get married under this godly, beautiful scenario at St. Paul's, you know, if anything does go wrong, it's like old school. Then you go to the chaplain or the bishop and ask for marriage advice. And I've been brought up quite traditional, believe it or not, where, you know, if you're married, you stick at it no matter what, and you keep on going. I've had two failed marriages, and I tried in both of them, but they weren't good people. And now I've found a good person, so I'm like, well, why wouldn't I want to marry this person?
This is the Husey, Ed and Erin podcast.
The Husey, Ed and Erin podcast.
I'd love to know as well, because I think the financial abuse stuff doesn't get a lot of publicity. Not a lot of people talk about that side of domestic violence. Like, what at your lowest, like, how much did you have to your name?
Well, I mean, I think, you know, abuse is abuse, and an abuser will set out and they will hunt you down. And if you think about it, we're all good at our jobs. I'm good at my job. Pusey, you're good at your job. Everyone's good at their jobs. Mm. So for an abuser, it is their job. So they have to not only slowly chip away at your confidence, but they have to have a certain lifestyle, because they don't work necessarily. Yeah. Well, 9 times out of 10, they don't. So I was working constantly, and I am a worker. I come from a working class background. So part of the abuse is also financial abuse. So they just, you know, chip away and make sure that they're the one that the accountant calls, because because I'm too busy working or doing America's Got Talent. So, you know, when I left, I realized that a lot of my millions he'd managed to hide away, you know, just do things with it that I had no idea. Because when you're married to somebody and you love somebody, you would never think that they would be doing anything like that.
You trust them, right? And that's
hundreds of millions of dollars just gone, and then you're left with nothing.
There's no point putting a figure on it, because I think I would actually throw up right now where I'm sitting. But at the end of the day, you know, I've pulled my life back from that, and it was a really difficult journey to be able to think to myself, everything I've earned, I've trusted in somebody, and it's just kind of disappeared here, there, and everywhere. Yeah. You know, but there's always a paper trail, so we'll see. We shall see. But I'm on my own journey.
No, you're killing it. There's no doubt. Back on America's Got Talent, how does America's Got Talent compare to like MasterSing Australia? Are we more, is MasterSing Australia, is that more high pressure, or is America's Got Talent more high pressure? Where are you at, you reckon?
Well, I don't think there's any comparison, really. For a start, I love Australia. I lived there for 4 years. My kids went to school there. And the Masked Singer overall is such a crazy, wacky show, you know, and I get to kind of be entertained just like you. We get to see performances with people in like strange outfits. And it's the same with America's Got Talent, really, because it is just talent. So you can get anything and everything on that stage, from somebody like shoving a sword down their throat to somebody squeezing lemons on their toes. So it's just, I think it's just, it is comparable in a way that it's kind of crazy and out there. But at the end of the day, I'm sitting on that panel with my boss, Simon Cowell.
Yeah, right.
And then I'm sitting near you.
Yeah, right. So you're more likely to tell me to F off than you are to tell him to F off, or you're more likely to tell him to F off than me?
What? Say that again. Was that English you just spoke?
Would you be as blunt with Simon as you were with me? Do you know what I mean? Or
Oh, yeah. Listen, yep. And like I said, I'm a northern girl, so what you see is what you get. And I do think, actually, if I was to compare my relationship with me and Simon and then the relationship that me and you have, it's kind of similar because you're a jokester, Simon Cowell's a bit of a jokester, I'm just straight up and blunt and I don't take any prisoners. The only thing that's different is I haven't thrown water on you yet. I just kind of cut you with my words.
Hey, I love that. And Mel, I want to congratulate you on handling the invite question regarding your wedding to Hughie.
Oh,
you managed
sent
to
the
avoid
invite
it.
Out.
I haven't got
you
any invites.
That's
out.
Correct.
Yeah,
but will he get one when you do?
Well, the thing is, I have once I get my date in place, yes. Then I'm going to be organised and everything.
And finally, right. Spice
and, you know, St. Paul's holds about 200 people.
Oh, God.
And it's very proper and yeah. Very well-to-do.
He wouldn't fit in,
but
would
I
he?
Have to say that, well, I think the factor of your wife and your kids, I mean, they are just amazing.
I could get so you across the line.
I mean, yeah. It depends when I scrunch the numbers, but your wife would definitely be invited.
Oh, that's
and now, Spice Girls, make us all happy. Is it definitely happening, the reunion?
Oh, I've been talking about this forever. I mean, we are working on something, us five. And in actual fact, I'm going to Victoria's 50th birthday in like, is it in 2 days, 3 days? So I'm sure I'm going to have more to report on then. You should have done that interview after the weekend, shouldn't you?
That is massive. That'll be huge.
That's right. Thank you so much. Mel B's updated release of her Brutally Honest is out
honestly,
now.
Honestly, it is, and I'm being brutally honest, it is a brilliant book. I've been saying it for a while now. Do yourself a favour. It's an absolute page turner. Yeah, it's great.
Thanks, Mel.
Aw. Thank you.
Thanks, lovely.
On your legend.
Bye.
The Hughie, Ed and Erin podcast.
It has been a very tense and traumatic time in Sydney recently, hasn't it, Erin?
Yeah, it's been really difficult for, well, particularly difficult for people involved, but really quite traumatising for not just the entire city of Sydney, but the entire country. We've got Karen Webb, the New South Wales Police Commissioner, on the line at the moment. Good morning, Commissioner.
Good morning. Good to be with you.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us. You know, we're a show that generally likes to have a laugh. We don't do too much news stuff, but when the amount that's going on in our city is happening at the moment, we wanted to get you on and just explain to our listeners what's been going on.
Well, as it has been widely reported, we had a very tragic event out at Bondi on Saturday where six people were murdered and the offender was shot by police officers, and obviously many, many witnesses in that vicinity, many, many other people injured during that time. So all that community and the wider community of New South Wales and Australia, as you say, are sharing in that grief. So that's front and present on everyone's mind. And then we had...
Can we just on that before we move on? We've been championing the police officer who shot the assailant. She was the Amy Scott, the so brave. Have you spoken to her?
I have spoken to her. She was formally interviewed yesterday, so I'll probably check on her today. She is a great officer. I've known Amy for many years, and she did an amazing job on Saturday in very trying, traumatic circumstances. She trains for that. We all train for that. Yeah. She did exactly what we would expect that she would have done. And she, I've said it publicly a number of times, I think she's prevented the loss of further life by her courageous actions.
Yeah, without doubt. Yeah. I think, and are we looking at things like, I know bravery awards, there's a lot of red tape and all that kind of stuff, but do you see that in her future?
I do. I can't make the decision for those committees that make them, but I certainly support that nomination.
Yeah, and obviously off the back of that, you know, people were still really impacted on Monday, and then Monday night, live streamed. A teenager goes into a church and allegedly, stabs a bishop in there. He's been arrested. There was retribution then on the night. People were trying to get to him, about 2,000 people, in images that were essentially the complete opposite of Bondi when people ran to back up the police. And that night we had people attacking police.
I know, and police aren't punching bags. So that it was disgusting for me and for hopefully everyone else, outraged to see that.
Yeah.
Police were called there in response to that young person attending the church. The young person was basically arrested by members of that church on the evening, police formally arrested him, and they weren't able to get him out for 3.5 hours because of those people turning up.
Can we play the chant, can Police Commissioner? This was the chant that the that was taking place outside the church.
Bring him out! Bring him out! Bring him out! Bring him out! Bring him out!
That is
it's like from a movie, you know?
That's very, very stressful for the police that were inside. How many police were inside at that time, do you know, Police Commissioner?
I don't have the exact numbers, but I certainly know that there were 6 ambulances in there. The primary concern inside was to make sure that the bishop and the priest and anyone else injured was taken care of. But the ambulance couldn't get out without our assistance, and it took us 3.5 hours to move that crowd back to get access to move on the injured people.
Oh,
I can understand the emotions on the night, but that didn't help the cause of the bishop or anyone turning up and basically prohibiting the ambulance from doing their job and us from doing our job.
You guys are always on high alert, obviously, but has that kind of gone up a fair few degrees off the back of the weekend and what happened Monday night? You'd be worried about revenge type attacks. I know there were some text messages circulating, you know, I think amongst the Islamic community. Well, what are your fears now, and how high alert are the police?
I think the community have heightened concern, but I'd like to reassure the community that we are dealing with an isolated incident, and we will make arrests in relation to those rioters. There is an investigation ongoing around that. There is a separate investigation around the what I've declared a terrorism event inside the church. The community should feel safe. We've increased patrols. There will be saturation of police in the area. They should have no concerns, and no one should be taking the law into their own hands. There are sufficient police, and we are there to do our job.
So there was over 40 vehicles, police vehicles, damaged on the night. Is that right?
Yes, and that's what, you know, not only police officers injured, vehicles damaged, 32 of those 47 damaged are inoperable. I mean,
how did they do that? So that was with like bricks and like how do you, I wouldn't even know how to damage a car to that extent.
Well, I think the footage shows that there's missiles being used, that they've just grabbed things from wherever they could in the surrounds, as well as jumping on police cars, you know, basically damaging every single glass panel, every panel of the car. And now we can't use those cars, so we've got to send them off to be replaced.
It's going to cost taxpayers, isn't it? Well, I mean, essentially.
The mob has gone, you won't let us get to this person, we're going to destroy all your stuff and damage you as well. It's crazy.
And we're there to do a job. We were there to respond to a call from the church, which we did, and then it turned into something that it shouldn't have. And we will take action against those people.
Have the people like in, you know, the community leaders in this church, have they sort of taken responsibility and said, we are going to talk to our congregation and make sure this doesn't happen again?
Certainly church leaders and community leaders don't condone this behaviour. We believe that people have not associated with the church have turned up.
Mm.
And that's the problem we're dealing with. It became a mob based on they've just come there to cause trouble. So we're not suggesting that the troublemakers all belong to the congregation, but we think that they've responded and just taken the opportunity. And as I said, our police officers are not punching bags.
Husey, Ed and Aaron are done for another show. But to pick them up after an early morning wake up, they're off to grab a regular cup of freshly ground coffee for just $2. Available 24/7 at 7-Eleven. Husey, Ed and Aaron.